Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley. Once again, brought to you by the committee to elect Matt Shea, Republican, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And there's a lot today, actually, in all of those regards, a lot. But first, and I don't know about you, but I've been really kind of feeling kind of pressed lately. There's just like a sense of urgency and a little bit of anxiety. You know, you have to always pray through that. But the bottom line is, if we keep our focus on Christ, our focus on God, that's where we'll find our rest. And Jeremiah 6:16 really underscores that. For this entire year, stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Nothing new under the sun. All the stress, anxiety we might be, you know, experiencing right now, apostles had to go through it. You had world leaders, founding fathers, everybody had to go through this. And we just need to very simply focus on the Lord. And that will, I think, take care of everything. And it does take care of everything. I don't just think it, I know it. So, with that, we got a lot of things to talk about directly today, but one of them in particular is something that's going on locally. And it involves one of our local reporters. And also involves what I guess I would describe as a cover-up and kind of how they operate. I've talked about on the radio show before about disinformation. There's a great book out there by General Mihai Pacepa, P-A-C-E-P-A, highest-ranking KGB general to defect to the United States. And he talks about this idea. So what they'll do is they'll take a word and then they'll spin it, and then they turn that into almost an entirely different story. And they try to back it up with fake things and try and make everybody believe it's real. And really, the mainstream media today has kind of taken this tack. And it's not like this is some great revelation. We've talked about this on the show before, but I want to give you a specific example today, later on in the intelligence brief, of how this is actually working. What, you know, what they really do to make this happen. All right. And, you know, I also want to talk, too, about, on the national front, about how this is used literally to erase history. So, I mean, it's this disinformation thing is going to touch a couple of things. But specifically, it's going to touch this idea of erasing history and then also spinning and turning the truth into a completely different story. So with that, we're going to dive right in. On the international front, we have a lot to talk about, but still wondering about the assassination attempt against Julian Assange. Was it? Nobody knows. And it kind of died out from the news, but somebody tried to Spider-Man up the side of the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And all of this is after it was pretty clear that WikiLeaks is getting Hillary Clinton's emails, is going to be releasing some more emails that have heretofore apparently been deleted, and be releasing them to the world prior to the election. Now, there's a lot of folks out there that don't believe that there is intentional corruption that occurs. But folks, there is. These people literally and intentionally do the wrong thing because they can make money off of it, or it's part of their own little crony system. I want to give you a specific example. Everybody knows about the Clinton Foundation. Everybody knows about all the money that has come in there, and the fact that at the State Department, over 50% of her meetings were with donors. But there was a specific email that came out about a guy who literally had his wife die of cancer, wanted to sit next to Barack Obama. But the Democrats intentionally, and there's an email that actually says this, didn't allow him to do that because there was another donor who had given a lot more money. Now, It is interesting, and this is, again, part of the thing called projection, where you'll see this phenomenon. People will project, especially on the left, will project on other people the way they actually are. So this idea of being humane and all this stuff, well, really, what they're doing is projecting onto conservatives and Christians how they really are. That, you know, project on a conservative Christian that we don't have any compassion for anybody, we don't love anybody, we hate all these people, we're corrupt, taking all the money from the big corporations, and yet that's exactly what they're doing. Now, I know that this happens in both parties, okay, folks, but the fact of the matter is this is in email form caught now, red-handed. So we got to wonder if it doesn't go even farther, you know, with an attempted assassination against maybe Julian Assange and other people. I mean, Guccifer, for goodness sakes, this guy that supposedly hacked the Clinton emails, winds up dead in his cell here a month ago, committing, quote, suicide. And that's interesting. So look at these situations and start asking a lot of questions, and don't try to gloss over it in your own mind, because the corruption is very real. Very real. And really the heart of our country is at stake in this next election. Which brings us to the Puerto Rican exodus. A lot of people leaving Puerto Rico right now because their economic situation is so dire. This kind of bailout of Puerto Rico that is still in the works. And this idea that, you know, that money can, I guess, be printed from nowhere and that eventually there's not going to be a day of reckoning. Well, there is being a day of reckoning down in Puerto Rico, and their manufacturing sector is crashing. People are leaving in droves. And we need to look at a situation like that and say, how could that possibly happen in an American territory? Because if it can happen in American territory, it can happen anywhere else in America. Which brings us, interestingly enough, to the Polish militias and the Czech Republic. Well, the Polish militias have been talking about phenomenal idea. Everybody aged 18 to 45 becoming part of a militia. And there's this big rebirth of freedom happening in Poland right now. Well, it's interesting that the German government came out and said that people needed to start stockpiling food and water in preparation for civil unrest. And then the Czech Republic came out and said, quote, people need to prepare for the worst, end quote. But you don't see that in Poland because they're already preparing. It's just a matter of life. There's no fear. It's not fear-mongering. They're taking the fear out of everything because they're prepared. They're ready to face anything. And it's drawing people together. It's uniting people. And that's what we need to do here in America. We need to unite again around the Constitution. And anybody that doesn't believe in the Constitution, as it is written, it's plain language, really is by default undermining America and driving a wedge. And that's going to bring us to the National Front and everything that's going on with this election coming up this fall. Well, it just came out. Now, it's interesting. They say they're Russian-backed hackers, okay, hacked the election systems in two U.S. states. And I think, honestly, just reading it, you know, the FBI is coming out and admitting that this has occurred. But, I mean, just reading this, it looks like it's probably more widespread than just those two states. I think that it's probably happened elsewhere, but now it's so big that, you know, now there's having to be this admission that this is going on. And it says, because it uses this word, it says being targeted for cyber attacks as election day approaches, but doesn't give the exact states that are being targeted for cyber attacks, and yet these two states are admitted that their election systems were hacked. Illinois and Arizona specifically. And the voter-related information was stolen. Now, as everybody has watched the YouTube video about how they can hack these electronic machines, it's pretty simple. And they can actually cover it, too. So they can have, you know, if you have 10 votes, they can actually have, you know, three votes be what they actually, how people actually voted, and then the other seven are what change. So they can actually do this and can kind of make it very difficult to spot. And we've known this in Washington State quite a while, that there have been some dramatic, and that's putting it kindly, election irregularities. And I think we need to continue to watch this as we get closer. I think it's just, I think it's a legitimate concern that a lot of people have. Will this be a fair election? And if you are in a county right now and you're listening to Patriot Radio, you need to get trained as an election observer and get down to the election office and observe, especially and to the polling sites, and observe the elections. In Washington, we have all mail-in ballots. So with that, we have to have people really down at the auditor's office watching the counts. So get trained now and be prepared to be an election observer. That's one thing you can do in defense of freedom and liberty locally that makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of people want to see that integrity in the election system, because it's got to be foundational to the republic. It's got to be part of what unites us, having a good election system. And moving on the national front, and in a weird category, okay, if you've ever watched the TV show Revolution, you will understand that there's this idea of nanites being put into the atmosphere, and then that can somehow control different things, okay? The United States government, specifically the U.S. Air Force, wants to plasma bomb the sky using tiny satellites. This is coming from NewScientist.com. And, you know, there's been this denial that weather modification has been going on. Now, we've had a scientist, Ed Berry, on here that's confirmed weather modification has been going on since the 1960s in the Vietnam War. But weather modification is one thing. Now what they want to do is they literally want to change the ionosphere to improve radio communications by detonating these things up in the upper atmosphere using this fleet of microsatellites. I get kind of concerned that we really don't know as much as we think we might know, and weather modification, Ed Berry's comment was, if anybody's doing that today, they would be absolutely foolish to try and do that. And the reason is because you don't know all the unintended consequences. So this is just something finally the government admits is going on with this plasma bombing of the ionosphere. And we have to look at that and say, well, you know, wait a minute. What is behind this? Is it just an experiment? Unreal, some of the stuff that is coming and happening so fast. Also on the national front, Irish history, and specifically the history of Irish slavery, some people are trying to erase from the books. Now, as we reported on this show, the Southern Poverty Law Center is really behind this move because they want to make sure that there's only a narrative surrounding like Black Lives Matter, and that slavery could never have occurred with anybody else, because if it did, then that undermines the narrative that other people did suffer slavery. It undermines the narrative of trying to get reparations. So it's very curious that they are attacking the Irish. Now, it's interesting for all of us of Irish descent who have any semblance of family history, we all know that Irish slavery is a reality. And in fact, Thomas Keneally wrote a book called The Great Shame. Now, you might recognize that name because he also wrote Schindler's List. And The Great Shame talks about the Irish diaspora, talks about Irish slavery, and the fact that this stuff is real. I post it up online, and I'll make sure it gets over to the Patriot Radio Facebook page. But this article goes through the history, documented history, starting really in the 1600s, I guess, after Cromwell, and how Irish slaves were sent to the New World. And they were slaves. Some people tried to kind of mask that with like indentured servitude, right? But these people were slaves. I mean, they were slaves, plain and simple. And this article lays it out in great detail. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about it on Thursday, because I think we need to delve into this a little bit and really kind of drive this home. And it's interesting, the article actually ends with the fact that during the Salem witch trials, one of the last person killed in the Salem witch trial was Anne Glover. and her husband had been shipped to Barbados as slaves in the 1650s. And her husband was actually killed for refusing to renounce Catholicism. And she was working as a housekeeper in Salem in the 1680s. And at the trial, they demanded that she say the Lord's Prayer to make sure that she wasn't a witch. And she actually recited the Lord's Prayer, but she did it in Gaelic because she didn't know English. And as a result, she was hung. I mean, that's one specific historical anecdote right there. But the documentation is just, it's irrefutable. So we need to hold on to our history because they literally are trying, through disinformation, to erase this history from the map. They're trying to say, oh, well, wait a minute, they were just indentured servants, they weren't slaves. They try to shift the meaning of a word and create a new story and erase history. So if you haven't seen this article, check it out. Already 128 shares, gone viral, actually, off the Facebook page because I think there's a lot of Irish and Scottish folks that live in the Western United States of Irish and Scottish descent. And I think they're kind of sick of all this garbage and this political correctness. And you know what? I am too. So wherever we can expose the truth, that's the antidote to disinformation, we're going to go ahead and do that everywhere we possibly can. Which brings us to the next thing on the regional front. University of Washington comes out and says, hey, if you raise the minimum wage, it actually destroys jobs. Now, there's a bunch of small business owners that went, duh, you really needed a study to show that? Well, the University of Washington is actually admitting it now. It has a scientific study. It's now fact that the minimum wage increase destroys jobs. I wonder how that's going to play out in November as well, this push for a state minimum wage. Also on the regional front, the 51st state naming contest, going to be announcing the results of that later today on Facebook. So if you have not voted, get your vote in by 6 o'clock, and we'll make sure to have it on there after 6, and you will know what the people want as the name for the 51st state in Eastern Washington. Which moves us next to something that we've been talking about for quite a while, and that is this idea of federal lands. Now, we're going to strike that from our lexicons because there's no such thing. There's no such thing really as public lands. There's such a thing as mixed-use lands. And the reason is because every piece of land has a right attached, but not just one right. It has many. It actually have water right, timber right, grazing right, mineral right, all kinds of rights attached to it. So it can be used, one piece of land can be used for many, many different things. And so what has happened is that the federal lands movement, this idea of transferring the control of mixed-use lands to the states, has gained so much traction that the left had finally had to come after it, right? And so here's what they do. They come out and they say, you guys just want to destroy national parks. Now, aside from the fact that national parks are not allowed anywhere in the Constitution, aside from that fact, okay, national parks is not what this issue is about at all. This issue is about a couple of very specific facts that I can share with you right now. The first is that the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, controls. So this isn't just, you know, this isn't just some small piece of land, but literally controls 245 million surface acres and 700 million subsurface acres of mineral estate. The Forest Service controls over 193 million surface acres and is responsible, and at least shares responsibility, for another 500 million acres. And this is what they don't tell you, that these new refuges and things that are happening, like Malheur Refuge down in Oregon or Turnbull Wildlife Refuge, they are destroying private land to create these refuge. They're destroying private land and giving it then to one of these government bureaucracies, Department of Fish and Wildlife, BLM, Forest Service, to control. And that's what they're not telling. It has nothing to do with national parks. It's simply to scare people It just has to do with the gross mismanagement of this tremendously large amount of land controlled by the federal government. And the fact that the Constitution does not give them the authorization to manage it or control it. And most of the state enabling acts actually said and acknowledge that the federal government was just a caretaker until they could give it back to the states. So that is the kind of rest of the story with that. And it's not about national parks. Don't let anybody tell you that. It's just not. And it won't be, probably, knowing everything that's going on. But we have to reclaim the land and put it back into productive use. On the local front, Sean Vestal. So this Exposing the Left article actually went far and wide. And Sean Vestal actually attempted to message me. Now, I've not had anything to do with the Socialist Review after all the harassment and false statements. I think there's at least five statements that were made in that newspaper, provably false over the last 8 years, that I think only in two cases they decided to do any sort of a retraction, and then it's at the back of the paper. And this is ridiculous stuff that this scourge of the Socialist Review does. Well, Sean Vestal tries to message me and claims, interestingly, that it is inaccurate, something that I put in my post on Facebook, and I thought, how rich is that? The Spokesman Review, the Socialist Review, is now suddenly concerned about accuracy in journalism after all the smearing they've done of many people in our community, demonstrably false statements that they don't retract. Unreal. So anyway, Mr. Vestal claims that, and here's the interesting part about this too, he only claims that one thing is incorrect. So he's tacitly admitting that the rest of the article is correct and all the rest of the things that are in there are indeed correct. Okay, so that would mean that like P. Jowls is anti-Israel, had a Communist Party USA member speak, had the Council of American Islamic Relations speak, is tied to all these hateful groups. Okay, so that's not being disputed by Mr. Vestal. Okay. Mr. Vestal, interestingly enough, is upset that I said that he gives money to P. Jowls. Now, here is the interesting part about this. Okay. I never said that. I actually said he donated and supported. Now, here's why. Because at the P. Jowls Bread Roses dinner auction, okay, this is kind of, it looks like their annual fundraiser, all right? It says item donors, okay? Now, I took a screenshot of this in case they try to erase it. It says under item donors, very clearly, it lists Sean Vestal's name. So he was a donor and supporter to P. Jowls. That is a fact. And it's screenshotted. P. Jowls even has put this thing up here. Peace and Justice Action League of Spokane. So once again, so now Mr. Vestal is caught lying and he's caught doing disinformation. And this is how they do it. I never gave money to them. That's not what I said. I said you were a donor and supporter to them. And P. Jowls on their site says you're a donor and supporter to them. So now he's caught lying, and he's caught in disinformation again, trying to shade the truth. So we're going to blow this up again, because the Socialist Review and the rest of these leftist lunatics that hate America and hate the Constitution, want to see this entire thing overthrown, and are really the promoters of violence and violent and hateful organizations, we're going to continue to expose them, and we're going to be relentless in doing this. So there you go again with this attempt to shade the information, but I thought everybody out there would find it very funny and at least put a smile on your face that suddenly the Socialist Review is concerned about accuracy in journalism. On the local front, lastly, tomorrow night, my fundraiser out at Tretzi Farm Winery on August 31st. It's going to be at 6:30 out there. Look forward to seeing everybody there. It's going to be a great time of fellowship, great dinner out there as well. And thank you to everybody that has already signed up. And if you haven't, you can always sign up at VoteSheaSHEA.com. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving, non-socialist review subscribing, non-inslander subscribing American. And make sure, if you haven't seen that article, share it far and wide with your friends and family, by the way. And go to Facebook/Patriot Radio US, like the page. And thank you to everybody that has been supporting me. And again, if you want to keep us on the air, please go to VoteSheaSHEA.com. Well, it's my pleasure to have on once again a man that has been a freedom fighter for, well, the better half of the last century and good part of this one already. My good friend and senior editor of the New American Magazine, Bill Jasper, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. It's my pleasure, my honor.
Well, Bill, this has been kind of you've been doing this for years, so I'm kind of like this is kind of like a new experience to me, exposing the left publicly like this. But I really found that funny that he tried to claim that, oh, you know, I don't give money to them, but that's not what was said in the article. And you must see that happen a bit writing about this.
Trying to weasel their way out of it or lie their way out of these things, even when you catch them cold. And that's what you expect with many of these guys. But what is constantly distressing but not surprising is that their allies in the media, the liberal left establishment media, let them get away with it, just as they are with Hillary and Bill, with all of the dealings that have been exposed now of the Clinton Foundation, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, the Clinton News Network. They will sometimes put a story out there, but then they quickly let it die and say, okay, we've been there, done that. Meanwhile, for anyone on the right, they just keep hammering and hammering and harping and harping on the same non-story until it takes on a life of its own. But that's what we've come to expect over the years, and that is why we, all of us, have built alternative networks where we can get news without all of that propaganda.
And that is what you have done wonderfully. And one of the great things about the New American is you always seem to predict things happening, you know, 6 months into the future. And you hate saying I told you so when you get down there, but you really have been very, very accurate over the years. I mean, I don't know if you even have percentages on that, but you have been tremendously accurate over the years.
Well, frequently what happens, though, is that we're not just months, but years or sometimes decades ahead. And it takes, because, you know, we're out there looking at the shape of things to come and looking at all of the actions that are taking place behind the scenes that are public, most case public source materials. I mean, I have gone undercover years ago in many different communist and leftist organizations, even terrorist groups and terrorist support groups back in the 70s and 80s. But most of the time, the information which we are divulging is public source information. That is, it is available to those. That's what news reporters are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be going to public events where, for instance, in this case, where communists and socialists and whatnot are openly fraternizing with and supporting and working with various politicians and other groups, and let people know, okay, when this group speaks, this group, whether it's a environmental group or a LGBT group or some racial group, or when they speak, they're really speaking with a voice of hardcore socialist, Marxist, Leninist, communist groups. That's significant. People have a right to know that. They need to know what is really the source of this, what is the agenda behind this movement, which is really an astroturf movement. It isn't a genuine grassroots movement. In most of the cases, the various leftist organizations, whether it's for the minimum wage or it's for global warming or whatnot, these are not legitimate grassroots organizations. They are all being funded by the huge tax-exempt foundations, by Soros, Rockefeller, Ford, etc., Bill Gates, or increasingly over the last few decades by our own tax dollars directly through the Environmental Protection Agency, the BLM, the various other federal regulatory and department cabinet department agencies.
Well, and that, you know, I think that is what a lot of people don't believe. They think that just cannot be possible that this network is that vast and has infiltrated that deeply. But it is the case. I uncover stuff all the time, and not just with politicians, but specifically with these grassroots organizations that might have a, you know, a great sounding name, or maybe it sounds like they have a great cause, like Peace and Justice Action League. You know, it really is. It is at and down to the local level all over the United States.
Sure. And virtually every lake and river and mountain range one has a Friends of the Sasquatch Mountain Range, or Friends of the Friends of the Earth, Friends of this or that group. And when you look at who are the foundations that are funding them, the corporate interests that are funding them, and it's the same with groups with programs such as the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or many of the other programs, all of which, when you look at them, all of these organized efforts aim at concentrating the power and scope and reach of government. And every time you do that, you take away more of our checks and balances, because they're trying to concentrate power from the local level up to the state level, and from the state level up to the national level, and then from the national level up to the global level. So you have all these UN initiatives which reach clear down into the community, but the objective is really to concentrate that power and pyramid it on up the chain to where eventually everything is globally controlled. And if one keeps that in mind, and you look at all the different groups that are organizations, particularly foundations, tax-exempt foundations, and the big corporate tax-exempt foundations, and then how they have gotten together with governments to fund these things, we see this really coming to fruition in Europe under the European Union, where they are already years ahead of us. They began doing this in the 50s and the 60s with all the tax-exempt foundations and with the U.S. Foreign Aid Marshall Plan funds. And now, just about all of the various European Union efforts against the Brexit or for the refugee invasion, all these things are being funded by. You go on these organizations themselves, and you look at their own, who are their sponsors, and it's the government of Belgium, the government of France, the government of Sweden, the government of Norway, and their various different foreign aid programs that are actually taking their taxpayer funds and using them to propagandize for and actually assist all of the groups that are pushing for more and more power for the bureaucrats in Brussels, the EU bureaucrats. And that's what we're seeing here, too. The EPA, the Department of Health and Human Services, the CDC, et cetera, they're all funding various groups that are propagandizing for concentrating more hands in the power of government. We see that with the new mandatory vaccines. We see it with the various Agenda 21 programs in cities and counties. These are being funded by various government agencies, as well as the usual suspects in the foundation sector.
It really is, and it's interesting too that some of these emails that are coming out, aside from the fact that they may have an impact on the presidential election, are really exposing the network and how these people literally and calculatingly do the wrong thing, or do the anti-American thing, or do the unconstitutional thing, or do the thing that really looks corrupt if it was exposed to the light of day. I found that fascinating.
Well,
here in the last couple of weeks,
for instance, you're familiar with, and you've probably, your listeners to some degree are familiar with, Hillary Clinton's role, along with her husband Bill and the Clinton Foundation and the Secretary of State's office, with this Uranium One scandal, which should be front page news every day on all the major media until Hillary is brought out of hiding and ends her 269-day hiatus or hiding her bubble, her protective bubble that she's been in, refusing to give a press conference. And the major press, the major media, have been complicit in this, which isn't surprising because poll after poll confirms surveys of the media elites confirm what everybody with half a brain realizes, is that they're totally in the tank for Hillary. They might as well all be wearing shirts saying we're with her, because that's what they prove every time they issue a report or a commentary. But they have been covering for her. Not only have they not been hitting on this issue where Hillary Clinton and her husband, Bill, Hillary Rodham and her husband, Bill, helped transfer to Russia, to Vladimir Putin's regime, 20% of America's uranium fuel production. Now, that's a big national security issue, whether one agrees with it or not. I think most Americans would not, both from a national security standpoint as well as for a national energy security standpoint. Nuclear energy, whether one is for it or against it, still is providing 20% of our nation's electrical power. That's pretty significant. I mean, we would have to shut down a whole lot of the country if we didn't have our nuclear power. And yet we don't produce enough of our uranium fuel here to power those plants. Hillary just helped deliver 20% of that to Russia. Now, that's really not a good national security thing, and yet we're being told by neocons and Council on Foreign Relations globalists and whatnot that Hillary is really the one that we should be voting for because they say she has the best national security credentials. That would be ludicrous if it were not actually borderline treasonous. So one Uranium One issue.
Not talking about China or any of these other
right,
ones, too.
I mean, and that's just barely scratching the surface. Of course, there are dozens and dozens of similar things, and that should not surprise anyone because back in the 90s when she and Bill Clinton were occupying the White House, we had literally a scandal a week, or sometimes more than a scandal a week, coming out of White House for sale. And to some to Communist China, you know, China Gate was a big thing back then. Russia Gate was a big thing back then. Coffee Gate, Travel Gate, Whitewater Gate, I mean, Trooper Gate, Bimbo Gate, it went on and on day after day. And that hasn't stopped. Hillary has turned the Rodham campaign for the White House into the same kind of incredibly scandalous criminal rolling enterprise that we saw during the Clinton years.
Well, and to that end, I mean, you've been exposing the truth for a long time. You actually have an event coming up, and if you could tell the listeners a little bit about that, where it is, when, and all that good stuff.
Well, yours truly will be speaking this Friday at in Coeur d'Alene at the Candlelight Christian Christian Fellowship. That's on U.S. 95 and Dalton Avenue. That's at 6:30 p.m. Friday. My topic is frustrated with politics, ? And we're going to be looking at, you know, most Americans are feeling overwhelmed at all of the things that are coming down the pike at us here, economically, socially, politically, culturally, national security wise, and they're really fed up. Our freedoms and our commerce are being attacked by big government. Our government, our politicians, our government are not securing our borders. We are faced now with very soon seeing the same kinds of crises with regard to refugees and migration that we saw over the last 18 months in Europe. And politicians, both Republican and Democrat, promise us this and promise us that, but they keep delivering the same big government trend. More government spending, more government controls, more government intrusion into our life. And so, what's the answer to that? We're going to be delving into that. We're going to show a number of the key issues that are confronting us today, and what can and must be done, and really, what is it that we can realistically hope to accomplish? And we have only a short amount of time. You and I have benefited from our parents and our grandparents and those who've gone before us who have given us the freedom and the prosperity that we have. But what are we going to be giving to our children and our grandchildren? It's looking very bleak right now. We've gone through the 2008-09 financial crisis, and that was bad. But our Wall Street Federal Reserve banks and the big too big to fail institutions have continued on the same course, and we are facing an even larger crisis right now in our very near future, and that's just on the financial front. So we look around at everything that the Obama administration and many of his allies in the media and the state governments are doing on the truly revolutionary, subversive front of the LGBT transformation of our society. And that kind of perversion that is being forced upon us. So we're caught right now between Sodom and Mecca. The left is pushing us on the one side to go the way of Sodom, and on the other hand, they're saying, no, we have to go the way of Mecca. We're going to have to be squeezed in between the Islamic radicals and the pervert radicals. And is that our only choice? I don't think so. But it will be our only choice if Americans don't wake up and get back to God and get back to the Constitution.
Well, that is it. We have to get back to Jesus Christ and focus on him. If we don't do that, the rest of it's for naught. It really is. And I think talking about these types of things, people feel very overwhelmed. And I don't want you to give away everything you're going to talk about it, but if you could kind of give a teaser about what can people do, or what issues really do matter? Because I think also people are overwhelmed by the volume of information that's thrown at them on a daily basis. And they kind of think, we're getting fired at from all directions. How can I possibly do anything, and don't even know which direction to put their efforts in?
Well, I mean, that's true. We are being hit from all sides, and part of that is part of the planned psychological attack to keep everybody so discombobulated. So what we're going to do is try to help people focus on a few things. One, If one simply runs around putting out the fires instead of stopping and arresting the arsonists, you're doomed to failure. So we have to stop the arsonists. Well, we've identified who the social, political, cultural arsonists are. And there is a much easier, and in fact the only way to go about stopping them from all of the fires that they are starting is that we have to expose and stop them. And otherwise, you're going to be completely overwhelmed trying to put out all of their fires. They can light more of them before you can get the last one out. So, I mean, that's one of the key areas we're going to be looking at. Secondly, it may sound like tooting one's own horn, but Look, we have a track record. We have been on these issues, not just for months or years, but decades. Look right now at the United Nations, the John Birch Society. I'm the senior editor of the New American Magazine. I've been a correspondent at the United Nations for over 30 years. I've been to many of their conferences around the world. I am accredited at the United Nations. I'll be going there next month. For the big refugee summit that President Obama will be hosting there along with the United Nations. But we've been exposing this for 50 years now, pointing out back at that time that when 80 plus percent, at one time it was 87% of the American people had a favorable view of the United Nations. They thought it was mankind's last best hope for peace. This is going to be wonderful, peaceful, we'll all get together, peace, harmony, justice, etc., hold hands, sing kumbaya, and have a better world. We were saying, no, look past the rosy images and look at the facts. Who created the United Nations? Who wrote the charter? Alger Hiss, the communist Soviet agent, a spy in our own government, was the first secretary general. He's the one that helped put the charter together. And to organize it as a concentrated form of, that would eventually become a world government. And over the last 50 years, more and more Americans have come to see that, look, we have to look past all of the rosy propaganda and see the United Nations for what it really is. Right now, it is pushing for control over virtually everything, the law of the sea, our children, our education. Most Americans are now aware that over the last couple of administrations, the Bush administration and especially the Obama administration, and especially under Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, pushing for implementation of an adoption of the UN Small Arms Treaty, that is universal global gun control, not only gun control of small arms, but of ammunition and of all parts. And that is being pushed very aggressively by the Obama administration now. Well, 30 years ago, I have letters from the NRA, the National Rifle Association. They did not think that was a problem back then. In fact, they wrote letters saying, oh, that's kind of paranoia, right-wing paranoia. You don't have to be worried about that. The United Nations is not going to do that. Well, it turns out we were right. And that is now been proven beyond doubt with regard to the Small Arms Treaty. Well, it's the same thing with Agenda 21 and on the environment, on the Global Warming Treaty, on the UNESCO Children's Treaty, Children's Rights, the UN Population Control. All of those things we've been proven right on. And so here, it's very important for one to select reliable sources of information. Our website is www.jbs.org for the John Birch Society, jbs.org, or www.thenewamerican.com. For our news magazine website. And we have articles every day, 6 to 12 exclusive new articles on all of these important issues. And we have people that are constantly, that many of them have been on this for decades and know where all the evidence is and where the bodies have been buried, and we keep following these things. And so we're one of the very few conservative organizations that was opposing NAFTA, for instance, back when it was being promoted. Many of the conservatives, as today, have jumped on board believing what the Chamber of Commerce says and what the big corporate Wall Street firms say, that the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and the TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, are wonderful. They're going to bring us more jobs and prosperity and whatnot. And they cite all of these phony statistics that they claim, all the new trade and revenue that it's going to bring in. Well, we point out they said the same thing back then over 20 years ago when they brought in NAFTA, and they were wrong then, and they're wrong now. with regard to the TPP and the TTIP. What those trade agreements will do is subject us to more global controls under the United Nations and the World Trade Organization. So, I mean, those are the kinds of things where we have, if one goes on our website, you can see, well, we've been reliable, we've been dependable on those issues for not just months and years, but for decades.
Well, I want to end the show on a couple things, and the first is with Alger Hiss. People do not know this history. I get in arguments about this all the time when folks bring this up. That just can't be true. There couldn't have been a communist infiltrator at the highest levels of government and then helping to you know, at least influence and start the United Nations. And so, if you could give us some more detail on that and some primary source documents that would back that up.
Well, yes. You see, for many years, this was a big raging debate, and even many liberals defended Alger Hiss clear up until, I mean, there are a few outright communists that still defend him, but now even most liberals do not defend him, at least not knowledgeable ones, liberal leftists, because we've had a number of very important documents, the most important being the Venona documents, which were the Soviet archives of the KGB and the other Soviet intelligence operations, showing that, confirming that, yes, Alger Hiss was indeed a Soviet agent. Alger Hiss was one of the highest level penetrators of our government by the communist intelligence apparatus of the Soviet Union. And he became a top advisor to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, during the war. He played a key role in... Here he was, a Harvard man, a very well-connected, politically well-connected guy to all of the big powers in Washington, D.C., and when he was accused of being a Soviet agent, they all rushed to his defense. The New York Times, the Washington Post, all of the big names at the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation, etc., everybody rushed to his defense, said, oh, no, that couldn't be the case. But you know, it's been now over a decade and a half since the Venona papers came out. Those are the Venona archives, which are, Venona was the code name of the archives in the Soviet Union. And so we have it now from the Soviets' own records showing that Alger Hiss was indeed a top-level operative, an agent for the Soviet Union in the U.S. government. Now, he wasn't a spy. A spy is not the most important agent of the government. Usually it's referred to as spying. But a spy penetrates a foreign government or agency and steals information. He was a high top-level agent of influence. That's far more important. He got into the government and he directed policy. He directed actual actions of the U.S. government. That's a much higher level. What did he do? Well, among the many things that he did, which he's most noted for, is being the first Secretary General, Acting Secretary General of the United Nations in 1945 in San Francisco, where it was formed. But even before that, much more importantly, he was the man in charge of actually drawing up the Charter of the United Nations and of appointing all of the key people to agencies of the United Nations and to important positions within the U.S. government that were operating in the founding conference in San Francisco. So he appointed dozens of other communists to all of those high positions. Surprise, surprise. One of the other things he did was help to get, back at that time, right before the San Francisco conference, was the Bretton Woods conference, where the International Monetary Fund and World Bank were set up. And so he, along with Harry Dexter White, another Soviet agent in the top levels of our Treasury Department, were the two most important American Americans working on those projects, setting up the United Nations and the World Bank International Monetary Fund. And guess what? They were both members of the Communist Party, or rather of the Communist apparatus, working for the Soviet Union. They were Stalin's agents, and that had horrendous consequences even before that, because at the infamous Yalta conference, where FDR went to Yalta in the Crimea to meet with Churchill and Stalin, it was Alger Hiss who was his right-hand man and advisor, and he's in all the photos with them there. He helped put together the program, which was all in favor of the communists. The agreement at Yalta turned millions of Europeans, all in Eastern and Central Europe, over to Stalin.
Right. Exactly. Splitting it up, and my own wife actually suffered under that.
So here's Stalin. Supposedly, World War II is being fought to rid the world of tyranny, and the main focus of that was Adolf Hitler. But Stalin had already proven by that time that he'd murdered far more than Hitler had. And so why are we helping put him in power? Well, one of the reasons is because he had one of his top people, Alger Hiss, helping control our policy.
Well, and Bill, we need to do an entire show on that. It is absolutely fascinating, and most people listening right now, it's probably the first time they've ever heard it. But I want to thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. And one more time, your event is going to be September 2nd, this Friday, 6:30, Candlelight Christian Fellowship in Coeur d'Alene, and talking about being people that are frustrated with politics. And I'm sure you'll be mentioning a lot of this as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks again, Bill. We'll have you on again. My goodness. I mean, the New American has been doing this for years, and Bill has been at the forefront of this for years, exposing this stuff. Come see him. Come talk to Bill. Ask him questions. He's a wealth of knowledge and an amazing fighter for freedom and liberty. Again, September 2nd, Candlelight Christian Fellowship in Coeur d'Alene, 6:30 p.m. Going to be a great, I think, time. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one.